Yesterday, we took a look at the investment prospects in the equities markets. Today, we turn our attention to the bond market offshore and here at home. And with recent sovereign credit downgrades, what does this mean for investing in South African bonds? Well, to give us a sense of how the bond market currently lies and what factors need to be considered when investing in bonds, I'm joined on the line by Londa Nxumalo. She's a portfolio manager at Allan Gray. Thank you so much for joining us, Londa. Now, before we get into bond investment and the performance thereof, let's just unpack what a bond actually is, why it's worth considering having bonds in one's investment portfolio, and why they're considered less risky than, say, equities.
Well, good evening, Nombu, and to your listeners, and thank you for having me.
Sure.
So just in terms of what a bond actually is, so a bond is a fixed income instrument. So that means the cash flows are more certain than an equity in the sense that you will get a guaranteed coupon payment at certain intervals and then your capital at the end when the instrument matures. Mm. And then as for why you would have that, so one of the other key differences between bonds and equities is the risk profile. So as I've just described, the cash flows with a bond are set in the contract, you know, upfront what you expect to be getting.
Yes.
Whereas with equities, you are, as a shareholder, you're the most junior capital provider and you receive the residual after all the interest on other instruments like bonds have been paid. Mm. So those would be the key differences. Also, equities don't generally pay you back your capital unless you actually sell it on the secondary market. And because of the different risk-reward profiles, you tend to be more senior ranking as a bondholder, so it's deemed to be less risky than being in the in a share or an equity.
Excellently explained. Thank you. So what do you see as the current risks and opportunities for bond investors in both international and local bonds?
All right. So maybe let me just start with local bonds. So the opportunities for bond investors in our domestic market is that our real yields are historically high, especially when one considered yields on the long end of the curve. So I'm talking 10 years and beyond. So for example, the real yield, so inflation adjusted yield on our 10-year bond is currently around 5.5% versus the long-term average of 3.5%. Or if I go to the 20-year bond, the real yield is 7.3%, which is almost double the long-term average. Mm. And this is a function of high nominal yields as well as benign inflation. Our last inflation print was 3.2%. Conversely, on the international side of things, there aren't that many opportunities, to be honest, because what we're seeing is that in developed markets specifically, yields are at all-time high, and the stock of negative yielding debt, so where as an investor you pay the borrower for the privilege of giving them your money, the stock is increasing. So there are pockets of value, such as in emerging markets, like similar to South Africa, some of our African peers and other emerging markets is where you still find positive yields to actually pay you for the risk that you're taking. And then just in terms of the risks, so back to South Africa, the higher returns I've just described do come with a higher risk because our fiscal and our credit risks have increased in this context due to the recession and the lower debt affordability for many borrowers. That includes both the government and corporate borrowers. Also, we're seeing increased government issuance given our dire fiscal situation.
Yes.
And with increased supply, that implies if there isn't increased demand to meet the increased supply, that the yield would increase and the prices of the bonds would drop.
Given what you've just outlined to us, the risk premium that South African bonds have because of the risks that are associated to our fiscal position, what does that then do to the attitude of people who want to invest in South African bonds?
So the sentiment, that's actually a very good question. It does something to sentiment. So what we saw for a lot of last year is initially, at least for the first three quarters of the year, especially after the downgrade earlier in the first quarter, is that sentiment looked to be extremely negative on South African bonds. And you're actually seeing that in the higher absolute yields and in the higher real yields as well. And foreigners, who are a big portion of our demand for South African government bonds, were actually selling or not coming to auctions to the same degree that they were in the past, which is another reason why our yields repriced upwards. So that negative sentiment has definitely still persist in the pricing of our sovereign bonds, especially on the long end of the curve. But that does seem to have been tempered somewhat in the fourth quarter when there was general global positivity around the Biden win in the United States, which was seen as positive for emerging markets, as well as positive news and developments on a COVID vaccine, which resulted in a risk-on attitude and general positivity, which also fed into our bond market and saw some of that foreign demand coming back.
Mm. And what about our local financial market, our big banks and other players in the finance space? Are they still readily buying government bonds, or is there some hesitation there?
So I would say it varies. It varies depending on people's moods on a given auction date. So what we saw last year was bonds with banks who essentially are forced bidders at primary auctions were definitely taking up a lot of the stock, especially during those three quarters I described, where foreigners were largely staying away from mm-hmm. auctions. So foreigners were taking their coupon payments and saying, "Thank you very much, I'm out." And that meant that at the same time, national treasury was increasing issuance. So someone has to take that up, and as forced bidders, the banks were there, and we saw the proportion of bank assets, which were sovereign government bonds, actually increasing quite substantially, to a point where it looked like increasingly bank ALCO committees and banks, just from a prudential perspective, were not necessarily happy takers of all that government paper. But looking at, on the other side, at institutional investors, that, I think, was very much valuation-driven. So you've seen different parts of the curve being in favor amongst local institutional investors, with different parts, with a lot of favor for the short end, when I think risks were elevated and there was a lot of uncertainty, and some positivity returning and some demand returning to the long end later in the year.
Hmm. Londa, this is a very key and important question. The South African government, is there any likelihood in the next months or couple of years that they could default on their debt? Because obviously, if that were to happen, that would be a huge crisis for us.
That is a very, very good question, Nombu. So when I think about the possibility of the government defaulting, it's very important to distinguish between local currency and foreign currency debt.
Yeah.
So firstly, it's very uncommon to see a sovereign defaulting on local currency debt. Most defaults will happen on the foreign currency debt, where the sovereign has no control over dollars.
Mm.
And looking at SA's, starting with the easier one, which is the foreign currency debt, in South Africa's case, our foreign currency debt is less than 15% of the government's total debt, which makes up 12% of GDP. So I would say in that case, a default is highly unlikely just because you don't have much of that stock to be defaulting on. But the local currency debt obviously makes up the vast majority of our government's debt. And what I will say to that is that the government, despite the dire fiscal outlook, is still the best credit in the country. Why do I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is the government has certain powers that most other borrowers in this economy don't, right? Number one, the government has the power to raise taxes. We might not like it as taxpayers, but it's the power that they have if they need to raise money to be repaying their debt.
Mm-hmm.
And another tool at their disposal is financial repression. They can change pension fund or bank or insurance prudential regulations, essentially to force South African institutional investors, which is a big pot of cash, to buy their bonds. And then lastly, I would say as a last resort, they could use the central bank, the South African Reserve Bank, to monetize their debt. So that's where the central bank actually prints money to give to the government. And of course, if they embarked on this latter option, then the real value of your investment as a bond investor would decrease due to the higher inflation that's associated with money printing. But as I said, there's two other options that they can actually use before they even get as far as thinking about monetizing debt.
Yes, and we know that the Reserve Bank, the current dispensation, would not be in favor of that. Londa, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for those insights. That was Londa Nxumalo. She's a portfolio manager at Allan Gray.